again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. Greetings to you, those that are redeemed, those that are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, whose sins have been covered, whose transgressions have been forgiven through Christ. Greetings to those of you that have been saved from this wicked world and from all that it is and all that it entails. And for those of you that won't be thrown away with the garbage, like the rest of the world will be. Oh yes, there is coming, trash day is on the horizon. And a lot of garbage is going to be taken out. I know worlders get a little bit upset that despite all of their wealth and their position and their prestige among themselves, where they pat each other on the back and all of that, if you don't have Christ, if you have not been redeemed, if your life has not been salvaged and saved, and if you don't have that hope and a future that comes from the King of Kings, well, your prospects are pretty bleak when you start looking at eternity. Because, you see, there is an eternal God, an eternal Creator, one that knows everything about you, that is perfect. And unless your life matches His, you cannot spend eternity with Him. You cannot be in His presence. The only way that your life has any hope is through the substitution sacrifice that came in Christ Jesus. That's it. Because no man, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's nobody righteous, no, not one. So only in Christ Jesus are you made the righteousness of God. Outside of Him, you can do nothing. Outside of Him, you are cut off. Outside of Him, you are eternally screwed. But we live in that window of time where people make this decision, where they make this choice, where they choose, would they have hell, and would they have hell in themselves, or would they have eternity, would they have life? So, yes, you know, free will is honored in this window. And, you know, that said too, you know, it's not just about life after this one. Not at all. It's about life here and now. There's a blessing for following God here and now. There is, well, one, you got peace. You know, I see a lot of people running around trying all sorts of different things, experimenting with all kinds of different options, and for a window of time they get a quick pop, but the problem is that there's no peace in any of that. There's no peace in anything outside of Christ. And so what ends up happening is these, you don't, because you don't have peace, you end up lashing out at other people. You end up making other people's lives miserable. You end up trying to share your pain, trying to share your collective pain with other people, and having other people feel as bad and as crappy as you do. Yeah, you know, in the windows of time where I've hung around with people that are on a different path, on a different, you know, because you do interact. The wheat and the tares does grow together. But when I hang out with these guys, I just realize how miserable they are. You know, I mean, they got to sedate themselves. They've got to do something to keep themselves from actually having to look at the miserable life that they live, the life that they've chosen for themselves as they continue to go down that line. And the phone stops ringing, the choices that are available to them get more slim, they wish they could go back and do it again, but you can't. You know, the only moment that you have is right now. The only time that you have is right now. And either you are facing the Father, and you are facing truth, and you are facing life, and you are lining up with that, or you are going another direction. You do that every moment of every day. You make a choice at this moment right now. Do you choose to walk in life and truth, or do you choose something else? You make that choice. I make that choice. You know, it's a watching over your soul. You have to watch over your own soul as well. Father is watching over you. But in the midst of Him watching over you, you have to also be mindful. Guard your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life. You make some free will decisions in this process. You know, there's that proverb where it says, a man's ways destroy his own life, and yet his heart rages against the Lord. How many people around the world are getting mad at God right now when the choices that they've made are the choices that they're reaping the consequences for, that He warned them not to make those choices? Their choices are destroying their own lives, and now they get mad at God. That's dumb. Look, there are principles to life. There are ways that things work. You realize that whether you believe in gravity or not, that by and large, you are subject to its effects. So somebody can choose to walk off the side of a 30-foot building, and they say, I don't believe in gravity. Okay, you may not believe in it, but the effects of it are still there. It is something that is going on right now in the paradigm and the dimension that you're in. And so people say they don't believe this or they don't believe that. Well, fine. But whatever is true is going to be true. Whether you believe it or not, you still have to deal with the fundamentals of that reality, whatever it may be. And so there's certain principles that God has put in effect as well. You do reap what you sow. There's certain principles that God has put in effect. The borrower is servant to the lender. If you sow to the flesh, from that flesh you will reap corruption, you will reap destruction. It's already been said. It's already been put out there. He didn't have to say it twice. He says it once just so that you get it. Then you got to live in it. But when people think that God can say something and they can go another way, another direction, and they're going to be okay, no, it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. Whether you are an individual, whether you are a family, whether you are a city, whether you are a nation, it does not work like that. All things are brought to account. All things are brought to bear. No man gets away with anything. Not a one. I don't care if you are a street sweeper or if you're the president of a nation. No one gets away with anything in the end. Because all is brought to account. All is brought to bear. So, it shouldn't be a scary thing if you have nothing to hide. If your life is open, and if your reality is, look, this is who you are, if the light of God is shown in your life, you've got no issue. Your life is an open book. People can read you. It's right there. Why? Because there's you've allowed the light of God to shine into your heart and into your life. So it's, you know, it's, you've already laid yourself bare before Him, and you've allowed Him to flood your life with His light into every area and to start cleaning out that which needs to go. So, you know, you're at peace now. You've got nothing to hide. You've got nothing to that you need to shield, that you need to protect. See, those that are part of the world, they have secrets. They have things they need to hide. They have things they need to protect. They have things that they need to keep. It's a system of blackmail. you know, in fact, you know, even in the world of business, there's certain things about the way that certain people conduct business. And if you've done any work in Asia, you know a little bit about what I'm talking about. But the way that certain people do business, even in Asia, if you know that certain people have come a certain route, I won't say too much here, but if you know certain people have come to you a certain way, and through certain people, you know they're tainted. You know the nature of the business that they've done has been crooked, has been evil, has been not above board, has been with bribes and corruption. You know that when certain people come to you through a certain way, through certain angles, through certain connections. Now, at the end of the day, people think, okay, this is fine, it's okay. Look, just understand this. Everything that you have ever done, ever, will be known and manifest for every single living thing for all eternity. Nothing is hidden. Not a thing. So everything that is done in dark rooms, every deal made, every life that is murdered, that is sacrificed, that is hurt, that is harmed, every twisted plan, every thought, everything is exposed for all eternity. Nobody hides, nobody gets away with anything. You know, when David had Uriah killed, to get his wife, to get Bathsheba, and David had gone down a certain path of sin, and one thing kept leading to the next, and a good king, a righteous king, all of a sudden was engaged in adultery, in murder, in lies and deception, in a lot of stuff, all of a sudden. But it was a progression for him to get to that point. But when God brought him to account through Nathan the prophet, that murder of Uriah, though he did not use his own hand and his own sword, that murder was accounted to David. And even Nathan said, Uriah, whom you had murdered with the sword of the enemy, that, you know, but it's you. You're the one that did it. And there's a lot of people right now that are engaged in things by proxy, that think that just because they're not the one pulling the trigger, just because they're not the ones that are the perpetrator directly, they think that they're okay. No, you're not. There is a lot of things that are going to be credited to your account, and you don't get away. When the scores are settled, you're going to be surprised at some of the things that are tagged on people. This is your doing. This is again why, if you are outside of Christ, you are screwed. There is nowhere else except the blood of Jesus, the covering from Him. See, when they talk about a covering, that's something completely different. Their covering is a cover-up. Ours is the blood of Christ washes over us and cleanses us from our sin. And that is the beginning of the way, which is a journey that we walk with Him. No, you can't. You can't rob, steal, kill, destroy, lie, cheat, deceive, and then think that somehow, somewhere down the line, that you're going to be able to get off scot-free. You think so? You think so? You think that's going to happen? Okay, tell me your master plan. Mr. New World Order bootlicker. Tell me your master plan. Go ahead. You tell me how this thing's going to work out for you. One little twist, one little turn in the wrong way as it pertains to a finite being, which is yourself, and you're done. You're gone. You know, Herod, King Herod, after he executed James, King Herod, when he received the worship and the praise of men, there came a point where it said that he was struck down by an angel of God. He was eaten by worms and died. I mean, a very evil, a very twisted, a very crooked man, that eventually his cup was full. And God punched his card. Do you realize, for all you worlders, that the very breath in your body is on loan from him, is on loan from the Creator, in that the very one that you turn against, the very one whose people that you attack, the very one who you thumb your nose against, you can't breathe. The words that you speak against him, you have to use the breath that he's loaned you to do so. Do you realize this? There is a reason that Proverbs says that the fool says in his heart there is no God. They don't even realize the basics. They don't even realize the fundamentals. And God being patient, God being loving, God being kind, gives people a window of time to repent, to get right, to turn and to be saved. He gives them a window of time because he knows if his breath is withdrawn from their body, he knows what their eternal reality will be. So he bears a little bit longer. He, out of his love, it is not in any way, shape, or form weakness, or the fact that God doesn't see, or that God is unaffected. No, not at all. It's because he sees, it's because he knows, it's because he understands exactly what is in store, that he gives people a window. He gives them a window to get right. He gives them time. And even as when Abraham was walking through and God was showing him what would be the promised land given to his descendants, even when all of that was taking place, his word was, you know, they haven't yet filled up their cup. They've still got some time. And so God gave them time. And see, what you see happening right now in so much of the world is the cups are filling to the top. The cups are filling to overflowing. The cups now are full. And when they hit that point, then they get poured out. And so God allowing people windows and times to repent, to get right, to do the right thing, this is his grace, this is his mercy, this is his love. But that being the case, don't take that window for granted. Don't take this moment for granted. This is it. This is your moment right now. Because you don't even know if you have your next breath. Honestly, you don't. Thank God that you still have consciousness. Thank God that you can still make a decision, make a choice. As the Spirit of God draws you, bow your knee, humble yourself. There's still a very, very small window of time that you can get right. Because this whole thing is about to blow up. And when it does, look, you're going to be working with what you got. Those that are on the side of truth, on the side of righteousness, on the side of the King of Kings, look, for my brothers and my sisters out there, those on the side of the King of Kings, we have nothing to worry about. Not a thing. The very master and king of this entire universe, of this entire, of all that ever there is, or was, and will be, that he is for us, that he is with us, that he is leading and guiding and taking care of us. And that the moment that our breath stops in this body, in this life, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So whatever pain that we might be facing, whatever pain that we might be enduring at this time and in this place and in this space, whatever it may be, that there is an end to this. There is an end to this suffering. There is an end to this pain that we face. There is an end to the persecution. There is an end to the struggle that we face to be in this life and to be in this world. But right now, God would desire that you of your free will would submit to his plan and purpose while he has you to be here. He wants you to be joyful about the assignment. Don't complain. See, when you complain, even though you're a willing servant, and many of you are willing servants, you're willing to do that which God has called you to do, but there is this complaint that's going on as well in the middle of that, where in your heart you grumble, in your heart you're angry, in your heart you're perplexed, in your heart you say, God, why? You know, why must I go through this? Haven't I done all that you've asked of me? And yet still I am in so much of pain and so much of struggle and so much of heartache. And every time I think I get my feet underneath me, something comes and hits me upside the head. And you're upset about this. You're angry about this. But you know, God has allowed every one of those situations to come your way. Because they test you. Because they reveal what's going on inside of you. Because they show what needs to now be dealt with. God would have that you would come to the place where you would be a reflection of him. Where when people see you, they see Christ. That is what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is a Christ-like one. It's not a label. It's a state of being. And that state of being is a work of the master potter. It's a work of the silversmith. It's a work of the one that knows you. The one that made you. The one that knows how to work with you. It's his handiwork in you. He does it. And so the silversmith takes you and fires you. The goldsmith, the one that works, he takes you and fires you and burns out everything in you that's not like him. And it's painful and it hurts and it goes, but keep going. Overcome. He allows the external circumstances, the external situation. So many people dropped off so fast. They just got into the wilderness and then they said, this is too hard, I want back to the world. And they ran back to the world. And they were just beginning that process where God was working with them. God would have you to complete this. A lot of people running around as a half-fired pot, as a half-baked piece of silver. You're taken out of the fire too early. Rather than going through, they got pulled out. And when they got pulled out, they were a half-finished work. Not good for anything. But they fake it. And if you can get enough other people to tell you that you're okay, you can all fake it together. That's what a lot of people do on a Sunday. Get together with other people of like minds and of like hearts and pat each other on the back and tell each other you're okay. Tell each other that there's no problem. Tell each other that there is no elephant in the room. Tell each other that the world is not what it is. That the world system is not what it is. That you're okay being a part and parcel of it and bowing your knee to it and turning your back on truth and light and that which is Christ. Yeah, tell each other you're okay in doing that. The problem is, you know in the core of your being that something's not right. There is no peace. You're dead. And every day that goes by, you're a little bit more dry, a little bit more brittle. Why? You know, when a branch is cut off from a tree, Jesus talked about, those that don't remain in the vine are like branches that are cut off. John 15. When a branch is cut off from the tree, does it die in 5 seconds? No. It takes a little while for that branch to reveal that it is, the life has gone out of it. It takes a little while for it to go from green to dried up to brittle to brown to then subsequently just dead firewood. It doesn't happen in 10 seconds, but it does happen. And as you continue to go down this path, you see those that have been cut off. The life drains out of them more and more each and every day that goes by. And about the only way that they get any kind of a pop or any kind of a fill-up is by stealing life from those who are still alive. They must destroy the innocent. They must partake in demonic things. But it's a whole different source that they feed from. And just like a junkie, just like a drug addict, they need to do more and more abominations to get the same results. Just like a drug addict, he can't get his fix from what he used to. He needs more. He needs more. And so those little things, you know, I remember when I was doing some research in college for one of my papers, and I was reading some basically just scientific studies. But just on the damaging effects of things like pornography on people, on their minds, on their homes, on their interpersonal lives. And, you know, for so many of these guys that get into that, you know, they didn't start out with the hardcore stuff. But as time went on, in order to get the same pop, in order to get the same level of feeling of stimulation, they had to keep going darker and more base, until pretty soon that which is right, that which is normal, that which is healthy, and they've been so far removed from that they can't even relate anymore. Look, for those of you that struggle in that area, you know, whatever your addiction is, all of this stuff, if you bring Christ into all of it, you remain in Him, let His words remain in you, just even if you're struggling with something, bring Him into that experience. Don't try to wrestle with it in and of yourself. You won't be able to do it. You can't. In your flesh, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So that being the case, You have to bring that under subjection, and the one that can give you the power to do that is the Spirit of Christ. So as He leads you, as He guides you, as He strengthens you, allow Him to carry you through. And whenever you're facing these things, look, bring Him into it. Ask Him to be there in the middle of whatever struggle you face, and He'll help you come through. He'll help you carry. He'll carry you through. If you continue to seek Him in the midst of whatever it is that's going on in your life, what will happen is, if you just remain in Him, a lot of things that you used to struggle with will just melt away from your life. He does that. That's one of the blessings of being one of His children and going on this path. So, hey, I love you guys. God bless you. We'll catch up with you again sometime soon. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. And, hey, talk to you later. All right. God bless you. Bye.